So this is the second Bible reading, and it's from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. Now, I thought I would just read the verse preceding it because that leads into the passage. So, verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay, now we go to verse 14. "How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how then can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let's open our time in prayer. Father, help us this morning to know how we might send and be sent as your people. May the wonderful news you've placed on our hearts that Jesus is our Saviour and Lord also be on our lips. Strengthen us in your work and remind us that you are always with us. Amen. Well, you may have noticed recently just how quickly something can spread when we can't contain it. I mean, there are some things that we simply cannot, no matter how hard we try, stop from spreading from person to person and even country to country. Now, for a good chunk of the last century, the thing people were worried about spreading was not actually a disease, but an ideology. It was communism that was seen as the great threat to the mighty West, reaching the peak of its hysteria in the 1950s in the US during the Cold War, in what was called the Second Red Scare, the first coming in World War I. And so people were on high alert. They had individuals and groups being branded as communists and run out of town. Now for us, the hysteria is not over communism, I hope, but actually over the coronavirus. I remember it was only a few weeks ago we were told it was not a matter of if corona would reach Australia, but when. And, well, here it is. All over this country we have bare supermarkets, there's a great rush for toilet paper, and we're starting to hear about the speed with which it's spreading. And I don't know about you, but I find that a little bit alarming. Now, of course, I don't want to encourage panic, nor do I want to make light of what is a serious issue and a real concern to those most vulnerable in our community. But actually, this unstoppable spread of something from person to person, be it an idea or a virus, is in some ways exactly what the gospel should look like. But instead of bringing sickness and death, the gospel and its spread brings life. Instead of bringing a failed form of nationalism, it brings a beautiful welcome into God's marvelous kingdom. And so today I want us to think about the part that we play in the spread of the gospel, our person-to-person transmission of the grace that we have received. The unstoppable spread of the news of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason it is unstoppable is because of the God who stands behind it. We send people, our mission statement says, so that they may proclaim Christ. But really, in terms of our sending, we're more like the posties rather than the original sender. Because in fact, the one doing the sending is God himself. Our job as a church is just to be kind of part of that process, to help people as God sends them to proclaim Christ, to challenge people, to hear their God speaking and sending them, and to fund those who need it to proclaim what they've been sent to proclaim, and also to equip people as they're sent out. Because God, the God we have, is a God who sends. And we see that all through the Bible, all through the history of the world. I mean, just think about it. He sends prophets, and what do? Proclaim his word. We've been reading the book of Jeremiah, so let's take Jeremiah for an example. If you go back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah, you see God is sending him. Verse 7, we read Jeremiah telling us what God says to him. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. You must go, you must say. In one sense, you are sent to proclaim. As well as that, God reassures him. Verse 8, do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you. And so over and over again, as you go through the book of Jeremiah, you see this repeated phrase. It must be hundreds of times. I think it's the most common phrase in the book. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. See, he is sent by God as a prophet to proclaim what God has to say. Or leaving Jeremiah behind for a moment, think of Jonah. The very first verses of the book. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Go and preach. Sounds like a lot like being sent to proclaim. And if you know the story, you know Jonah tries to refuse God, but fails as God drags him, sort of kicking and screaming, to proclaim his word to the city of Nineveh, to bring them to repentance. And we could spend all day picking out prophets to look at, looking at how God sends people so that his word is proclaimed. But of course, we also have the book of Hebrews. And again, in the very first verses of the book, I promise I do read more than the first verses of books. We read, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So in the past, God sends prophets to speak his word, to reveal himself. But in these last days, it's not the prophets that God sends and speaks to us by, but it's his Son, Jesus. And it is in Jesus, ultimately, that God makes himself known. He has spoken to us by his Son. John 1, verse 18, he has made the Father, who we cannot see, known. Colossians 1, 15, he is the image of the invisible God. God sends Jesus to speak to us. And then we get to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. God has sent prophets. He's even sent his Son. And now we see he sends us. Verse 18, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples in the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Son, and sorry, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, go, teach. It's that very same language of being sent and proclaiming. And what are we as Jesus' followers commanded to teach? Not our words. Verse 20, no, it's everything he commanded, Jesus commanded. We are to make followers of Jesus, not of ourselves, not of St. John's even. We are to proclaim him, not us. And just like in Jeremiah, there's that little phrase that rings true in our ears. That reassurance of Jesus' followers as he sends them out. Verse 20, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He sends and then he ascends. But he is with us always as we proclaim his name by his Spirit. And so we share in that task given to Jeremiah, given to Jonah, and even that task that is given to Jesus, to be sent and proclaim the work of God, which in our case means to be sent and proclaim the work of Jesus. And what a beautiful message that is, to go forth and bear, to say that God, the God of all, loves you. He has given everything for you, and he wants to welcome you to his family. It is no surprise then that we get this verse in Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. One of the greatest joys for me being in this church is when I see others taking the good news of Jesus out. I think that is true beauty. Whether it's me seeing young people who not just invite their friends to youth group, but actually care about getting to know them, about them getting to know Jesus. I think that is beautiful. Or whether it's when I speak to parents or grandparents or wives and husbands who are working to show their unbelieving family what they understand about Jesus. That is true beauty. Or even when someone introduces me to their friend who's been coming along to church, who they invited. That is true beauty. And I think when we think of these things, we think of our desire for people to know Christ. And it's very tempting to say, let's evaluate these things based on their outcome, whether they actually accept Jesus. And of course, we do want to see that happen. We want people to be saved. But you know what? Regardless of the outcome, the heart and actions of someone who takes the gospel out to share with others is beautiful. It is so beautiful to see their love for God and for others. And we, each one of us, are these people if we are obedient to God who sends us? When you get to this point in the mission statement, I think it's kind of easy to make the mistake of thinking that this is about sending others to proclaim Christ and not us. But let me encourage you to think that if the work of our church is to send, that means when you come to church, we want to send you out. We want to empower each of you to proclaim Christ, because our God has actually empowered us to go and teach. And now it was wonderful having Chenny with us at our day retreat yesterday. It was really great to catch up with her briefly, and I'm looking forward to her coming back. But can I say, it is wonderful to have a room full of missionaries right here, right now. Because each of us who follow Jesus are to go out to the world as missionaries of God's kingdom. That's why our mission structure as a church actually makes a point of saying our mission partners aren't simply those who we give money to. They're not simply those who are far away enough that we don't see them. No, we are mission partners together. Mission partners in reaching our neighborhood, our workplaces, our friends, our families. We are sending you out to proclaim Christ. Something we don't do at this service or at night church, but often do at our 8 a.m. service, which I love, is we conclude our time by saying, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Now, that might seem a bit formal to some, but personally, I love that send-off into the week, because church is like a shot in the arm, where we're reminded of the God we serve. We're reminded of his work in Jesus that we proclaim. And then we do not stay in our bubble. But each of us is sent out to proclaim Christ in each of our own weeks. And so we do not say, relax in peace. We do not say, stay in peace. But instead we say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And we desperately need you to do it. Because as Jesus taught us in Matthew 9, verse 37, the harvest is plentiful. The opportunities each of you have with the people in your lives is plentiful. But the workers are few. There is so much opportunity, so great a need, and not a single one of you can be spared. We need every worker we have. We need you. We need to send you out. God calls us to send us out to proclaim Christ, to reap that harvest that Jesus speaks of, to save people as Christ has saved us. For as we read in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. If we ignore being sent, how will anyone hear the good news? How will anyone believe in Jesus and what God has done through him? And how will they call on the name of the Lord and be saved? The answer is they won't. They can't unless we go and proclaim Christ. So how beautiful are those feet of those who bring the good news. So will you go? Will you go overseas? Will you go next door? Figure out where the good news of Jesus is needed and where you can proclaim it, and the rest will fall into place. And will you send others? Will you be part of our work as a church? The postie for God, so to speak, being the one God uses to send others out. Now that also requires a couple of things from you, doesn't it? It requires generosity. There are people, there are places we can reach if we invest in sending those who are willing and able to go. It makes so much sense to me that we see someone like Kathy Dad, who has a real passion and also has skills as a linguist, and we say, hey, we want to support you financially to do what we cannot, to go so that we together can make sure that Jesus is proclaimed to Indigenous Australians in a language that speaks to them. Or take people like Gilbert Kaur and Hadzia, or Chenny T with CMS, or the Bush Church Aid, to say, hey, let's get behind what you're doing, because we see the opportunity. We see the lack of workers, and we see that command of our God to go and proclaim. It takes generosity from us to prioritize sending when, sure, it would be lovely to keep our resources and our people close to our chest. But God is a God who sends, not keeping his resources close to his chest, No, he sends at enormous cost to himself. He sends Jesus to die on the cross. And so we must send generously too. And secondly, if we are to send others, we're going to need to really value proclamation. The teaching of others about the work of God needs to be really high on our list. Otherwise, why bother? I mean, it's hard, and the cost of it is high in terms of what it demands of you, and not just financially. And so again, I ask, will you send people so they may proclaim Christ? Will you be sent yourself? It's a high bar to follow in the footsteps not only of the prophets, but actually of Jesus himself. But as we close, as I hope you go out eager to be sent and proclaim, I want you to remember Jesus' words from Matthew 28, those same words we saw in Jeremiah 1. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And indeed he is. Amen.